Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Psalms 46. It starts off by saying, "For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song." Have you ever been a hothead, so ready to fight, so ready to throw down? Recently at a kid's sports event, they're the worst, by the way, for this type of thing, a hot-headed parent aggressed on me for yelling encouragement to my daughter when she and another kid ended up on the ground. The parent had not realized that it was my daughter on the ground since my daughter and I are different colors, and he came over to fight me, thinking I was yelling at his daughter. I still don't know why, but when he got up into my face, I simply folded my arms, smirked, and said, "Okay, tough guy, do what you came here to do." He just looked at me blankly. Not only was I not afraid of him, I also wasn't willing to throw a punch. Over the years, I've learned to be more afraid of what I might do to somebody else than what they could ever do to me. Thus my stance. And Psalm 46 is all about your posture in the face of battle. Psalm 46 is also unique in that it is said to be according to Alamoth. That word, unknown, is similar to maiden or soprano, meaning that it is most likely to be sung either by women or in a higher key. And that fits the psalm in general, to be honest, because the psalm is about war. Most men are ready to fight and throw down at a moment's notice, but this psalm introduces a feminine perspective on war. One might almost say a wiser perspective at times, found in the key verse, verse 10. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Fold your arms. Wait. In fact, the entire psalm is about what God does to protect us, to fight for us, so we don't have to fight for ourselves. That's why I find it interesting that there is a feminine voice here, or a higher soprano that this is sung in. A perspective that maybe stepping back and seeing what God may do can often be the wisest thing. Let's start in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Can you feel your muscles going from tensed up in a fight or flight to suddenly relaxing, taking a deep breath and exhaling a sigh of relief? Like it's not all on you. God is our refuge. God is our strength. An ever-present help means he's always there. And you can't see him because he's right behind you. Where else would someone who has your back be standing? Verse 2. Therefore we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, because God has our back, we will not fear, even if the world as we know it is falling apart. The imagery here is powerful. Everything in upheaval. Mountains falling into the sea, earthquakes, tidal waves, and complete chaos. How do we hold our ground when the ground gives way beneath us? Well, it's not easy. But I think it has to do with not laying a foundation on anything in this world. As unsettling as quaking earth, or as unpredictable as the sea. Instead, we need to build our foundation upon the next world. And that's where the psalm goes in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. The psalmist is confident that Jerusalem will stand if God is with her. This isn't just the city of the Israelites. No, this is where God dwells. It is the city of God. But of course, we know that God also does not build his foundation upon the earth. God's kingdom is not of this world. It is in heaven. Since Jesus came, he's been telling us that his kingdom is invading earth. His kingdom is spiritual, and it grows one soul at a time. And eventually, at the closing of the Bible, in Revelation, the new Jerusalem descends out of heaven and establishes itself on earth. But not yet. Here, we see imagery that Revelation tells us is from heaven itself, a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Of course, literally, it's the brook Kidron in Jerusalem that ran right alongside the city. But the psalmist here is prophesying now. Listen with me to Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down to the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. That is what our confidence is in. The earth and all that's in it will one day pass away, but the kingdom that I just read to you about will be forever. Verse 6, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. When the earth melts, and it does, you get magma and lava. When sand melts, you get glass. Before the Lord's throne is a sea of glass mixed with fire. God only lifts his voice slightly, and the earth melts to liquid before the majesty of Almighty God. That's the God who fights for you. In awe, the psalmist sings in verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord is with us. That is what makes the difference. If the Lord is with us, who can be against us? God himself is our fortress. Verse 7. Note that he says, the God of Jacob. No matter what people tried to do, defeat, cheat, or outsmart Jacob, it wouldn't work, because God was with Jacob, as messed up as Jacob was. And you can have that same confidence that God is with you. Step back, let God fight your battles, and in verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spears. He burns the chariots with fire. The psalmist may be looking out from the vista point of Jerusalem here, opening the temple doors in the morning, perhaps, or shutting them in the evening, since he's a son of Korah. But he says, come and see what the Lord has done. Perhaps he sees everything laid to waste. Perhaps it's one of the amazing victories that God gave Jerusalem under siege, where in the morning the army was completely destroyed. And that did happen by the power of God. And here the psalmist not only sees it, but excitingly says, follow me, come and see what the Lord has done. But then in verse 10, God speaks, that same God whose whisper melts the earth. Now his voice calm, reassuring, giving you comfort. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Whoa. Be still and know that I am God. There is no messing about here. God wants us to be done with fear, to be done with confusion, to be done with panic. Then God says, I will be exalted. There it is. God will receive his worship, his due. He will be exalted. It's not even up for argument. It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion, because there is no alternative. God will receive his glory, whether from people surrendering to him in worship or being conquered in judgment. Either way, God is the king who shall never be conquered. Verse 11, The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob, our fortress. God is our fortress. It's not the city walls. Those too will topple in time. In fact, anything else that we put our trust in but God will be gone. Anything not eternal cannot be trusted in because it doesn't last. God's kingdom alone will stand. So put your trust in Him. As Hebrews says, may we look to the city which has no foundations, for here we have no enduring city.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.